And you are listening to KCRW. I'm Larry Perel. Thanks for joining us. The campaign for a presumptive Democratic presidential nominee, former Vice President Joe Biden, has announced Senator Kamala Harris as his running mate. The decision comes more than a year after Harris, who was also a 2020 Democratic candidate, clashed with Biden over race issues during the first primary debate. If elected, she would be the first female, first Black, and first Asian American Vice President of the United States. Isaac Bryan is the Executive Director of Public Policy at the Ralph J. Bunche Center for African American Studies and the founding executive director of the UCLA Black Policy Project. He joins me now live to discuss the pick. Thanks so much for coming on.
Oh, thank you for having me, Larry.
Californians know a bit about Kamala. She is one of our senators, the only Black woman in the Senate, by the way. Can you tell us about her background and where she comes from?
Well, Kamala Harris is homegrown here in California, but we'd be remiss if we forgot about the roots at Howard University, roots in the community. Started out as a prosecutor in San Francisco, made her way to a Senate campaign, ran an incredible campaign for President of the United States, and I think is a phenomenal pick for vice president, and definitely somebody who I'm glad has been considered over this time. But that record is still complicated because at this particular moment, following the murder of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, Rashard Brooks, and countless others, you know, her history as a prosecutor in California is definitely something that the Biden campaign needs to learn from, both good and bad.
And we'll get to that in just a second here. But as you mentioned, she grew up the Bay Area between Oakland and Berkeley. She resides in Los Angeles now. Should it be important from a policy perspective for Californians or Angelenos, for that matter, in a general sense, that a Californian is on the ticket?
Oh, absolutely. California is the fifth largest economy in the world. It's one of the most robust and progressive places in the United States of America. As California goes, so does the rest of the nation on many, many issues. And I think it's important that in this particular election cycle, we didn't just look to the Midwest or the swing states for political reasons, but look to the kind of inspiring leadership that we needed, period, the progressive values that we need to hold dear. And California exemplifies that. And I think her coming from the Bay, but with roots in Los Angeles, also unifies a very big and important state, as well as the country.
You know, you alluded to this just a moment ago in terms of reconciling her record a bit, but, you know, Harris first came into public office when she became the district attorney for San Francisco in 2004. Can you take us through some of the wins and critiques that she picked up while she was in that position?
Kamala Harris would describe herself as a progressive prosecutor. And I think at that particular time, many others would say the same thing. And I think in today's standard of what progressive values means when it comes to talking about law enforcement and the role of law enforcement in society, she was actually a little bit behind the curve. One of the things that sticks out to me is the way that she handled truancies and filing letters to parents, written letters on DA letterhead, threatening legal recourse for truancies when really we know that students are missing school, especially Black, Brown, and poor students are missing school for a whole host of socioeconomic reasons beyond just deciding not to go. We know that the criminal legal system doesn't really have the proper recourse for things like that. And I think she knew that at the time. She certainly knows that now. And that was a set of mistakes. But I do think her willingness to bridge the gap between traditional law enforcement and the values that are in conflict with the structures of law enforcement in our society was a tricky balance that she did an incredibly good job. But there are some things that I think some folks are still going to hold against her. Police prosecutions, prosecuting officer misconduct, something she could have also done as Attorney General of California. She did not step in local cases when prosecutors failed to file charges. But there were also, to your point, a lot of accomplishments that I think we can look to, particularly her handling of immigration issues, right? Instructing as the top cop, a moniker she had given herself, the top cop in California during her time, instructed local municipalities and other law enforcement agencies not to work as ICE agents, not to work as immigration authorities, and to instead of ignore, quite frankly, those kind of militaristic values being perpetuated by the federal government. So I think it's a mixed and checkered history. It's one that I think is complicated even more so by this moment, but one I think we all need to have a national dialogue about, and one that I think adds value to the public conversation about this presidential race.
You know, you mentioned her role as Attorney General that she took on in 2010, and you mentioned one of her successes there. Anything else that you can sort of impart to our listeners about her time there?
you know, it's very hard to, well, she was the first black woman to be attorney general in California, and that's critically important. The first black woman to be district attorney in San Francisco. She's been trailblazing her entire career. So to be the first black woman to become vice president, if she were elected, would be something that she has some history in doing. And something that, quite frankly, goes back to the conversation she had with Vice President Joe Biden about the issue of busing, where she was one of the first to integrate schools back in her time. She's really had that mark. But to do that, it's very difficult to unify and walk that balance between institutions that have often been harmful to the same communities that she represents and is coming from and trailblazing from. And so I think her history as attorney general and her history as district attorney really shows the ability to unify constituencies that aren't inherently in coalition together.
But her record, I mean, her record as attorney general did draw a lot of criticism, though, from progressives for her record in that position. I mean, can you talk about why that was? I mean, she fought to release fewer prisoners, including, including another one as well. But can you sort of expound upon that one?
No, I think that criticism is rightfully so. I also think it's fair criticism that all prosecutors in this moment, even the most progressives, the Chase Boudins and others, are handling in this moment. When you represent a system that has a legacy of harm in the way that it does, it's not possible to have a record that is above critique. But I will say, to your point, she leveraged that office to release fewer people, to file for less, for fewer compassionate releases, to not prosecute law enforcement officers who have been accused of misconduct, fired from the local agencies, to stay quiet on statewide reform initiatives instead of taking strong and supportive positions, but to stay quiet. She made a number of missteps that I hope she's learned from, especially given the current dialogue about the role of policing in our country.
Sure. We are speaking with Isaac Bryan, the Executive Director of Public Policy at the Ralph J. Bunche Center for African American Studies and the founding Executive Director of the UCLA Black Policy Project. Kamala Harris is the only black woman serving in the Senate. Can you talk about her work there?
She's done amazing on the Judiciary Committee. She's fought for a number of progressive reforms while in the Senate and definitely been a trailblazer for holding the current administration accountable. I'm very, very proud of what Senator Harris has done for California and for the country. I think her record in the Senate, although brief, is qualifying for vice president. She's beyond qualified. Personally, I think there were a few other amazing black women and women who were on the shortlist, and I'm hoping that this moment of elevation for Senator Kamala Harris is also a moment to recognize Congresswoman Karen Bass and the amazing work that she's done, both in Los Angeles for the state of California and for the country. A very similar record with a deeper commitment, I think, to community organizing and community service. And I hope that that conversation is also something that continues to happen as we head into convention.
Sure.
Where folks are thinking about who we had, who we have, and what values we really want to come out of this election.
All right, I got one more question for you because we're just almost out of time here. But I got to ask you, how do voters of color, particular voters of color in Los Angeles, feel about Harris's record? I mean, is this someone that people will be excited to vote for?
Right, as the representative of all people of color, which I am not, I can speak for myself and tell you that I am not disappointed, but I'm not happy. Mm-hmm. I'm not inspired. I think this was very politically convenient for a number of reasons. I'm hopeful that this administration, this ticket, can really get the country in the right direction. But when it comes to a tough on crime narrative and the pushing back and the reimagining of public safety that this country is needing to have right now, Joe Biden and Kamala Harris are not the two to do it. But I'm hopeful that they can build a team around them that can do that. And I hope some others on the shortlist are part of that team to really think things through.
All right. Isaac Bryan is the Executive Director of Public Policy, again, at the the Ralph J. Bunche Center for African American Studies and the founding Executive Director of the UCLA Black Policy Project. Isaac, thanks so much for coming on. We appreciate your time.
Hey, thank you for having me, Larry.
You bet.